Kavanaugh was back in the spotlight for about 15 seconds, and impeachment is the word of the day. These stories, plus an interview with attorney Scott Briscoe, who will share great legal tips based on actual true stories, such as calling a tow service to haul a broken-down ATV you are in the process of stealing just creates a paper trail and witnesses and should be avoided. These great tips and more in this week's Debriefing of the Law. Let's start with actual Supreme Court news. Now, last week, the Supreme Court delivered a victory to our tweeter-in-chief when it upheld his asylum policy. Now, under this policy, asylum would be denied to a person coming to the United States when the person traveled through another country first and failed to ask that country for protection. Now, I am going to assume this policy was designed to target people from the South, because I am not sure that an immigration invasion from the North Pole is big on Trump's radar. Apparently, Santa treats his peeps very well, and the elves are not looking to leave. Now, is this asylum rule sound policy? I mean, imagine if when Mary and Joseph got to the Bethlehem Inn and Stables, looking to see if they could stay the night, imagine if the innkeeper said, well, wait a second, you can't sleep in this inn. You forgot to ask Jericho and Jerusalem if they had places for you to stay first. Now, you go back to those places, and then if you strike out, I'll see if there's room for you in the inn. Now, for clarity, I should have done that last bit with my Middle Eastern accent. But I don't have one that does not sound blatantly racist, and so I went with the Midwestern accent instead. Just use your imagination. And can you really fault the people from wanting to get asylum in the United States? I mean, we do kind of think we have the best country going. I mean, have you seen how the rest of the world plays football? Yeah, it's a disgrace. I mean, they actually use their feet. I mean, our version is clearly superior. As one dad lamented to me when his son quit football to play soccer, I can't believe my boy quit sports to play soccer. But I do think our tendency to give away free stuff might be a bad idea. It might be attracting people to our country. Even Oprah had to change her policies once word got out. She likes to give away freebies. All of a sudden, nobody wants to see Conan. Everybody flocks to see the lady giving out the free cars. Yeah, I can't blame them. Also, on a very related note, this is why I am no longer allowed at Sam's Club. Apparently, someone noted that I like to spend my Saturday afternoons making multiple rounds to hit all of these sample tables. I was caught despite trying all of my best tricks. I faked interest in a nearby product and would linger around the sample table. I would stop to ask a question like, So where do you guys keep your toilet paper crates? Our neighborhood block is running just a tad bit low. Oh, look. Pizza rolls. I'll try three. I mean, I tried all my best tricks, but I was busted. Well, talking about the Supreme Court, last week, Justice Kavanaugh was in the news again. Now, have you ever heard a story with a shorter shelf life than last week's Kavanaugh story? I mean, that story disappeared quicker than an Antonio Brown football contract. Poof, it was gone. But since it did dominate the legal news for 15 seconds, let's cover it just a bit. All right, well, there are two points that you need to know. First, Christine Blasey Ford's attorney admitted that the allegation against Kavanaugh was pursued to put an asterisk on Kavanaugh's future rulings. That's right, the attorney admitted that she was willing to attack a federal judge so that his future rulings might be impacted. Now, I gotta tell you, I do not see how this attorney still has a bar card. I mean, if you're a lawyer, do not try this at home. Do not try this yourself. please don't go egging your local judge's house in hopes that, well, she might go light on your traffic ticket. That's not how the law works. That's not how any of this works. You don't attack a judge in hopes that the judge will rule your way. All right, the second point I want to make sure you realize is that the New York Times is fast becoming the new National Enquirer. I mean, here is what happened. Two New York Times reporters wrote a book on Kavanaugh, a follow-up, if you will, on his confirmation proceedings. Hey, if we have one horror story, why not a sequel? And in this book, they uncovered some details about the alleged incident where Kavanaugh was at a party and some other person pushed Kavanaugh's, Kavanaugh's junior partner, you get what I'm trying to say here? Yeah, pushed that into the face of a lady. Now, first of all, what kind of parties do they have at Yale? Because I went to KU Law, and I gotta tell you, our parties, fictional or real, were nothing like that. I mean, Yale is a new Florida state. It is Party U. But here's the bombshell that these New York Times uncovered. See, the lady who was said to be the victim doesn't remember the incident ever happening. Well, first of all, then who is telling this story if the alleged victim doesn't even remember anything about it? By the way, this is not a good look for Kavanaugh, right? I'm just saying it's not a good look. If this had been a Trump, I am thinking the response would have included some information about his hand size. Hey, it came up in a presidential debate. It's fair game for me to comment on. Well, a guy named Max Steyer is the one who told this story. And who is Max Steyer, you ask? Well, he just happened to be Bill Clinton's defense attorney during his impeachment proceedings. Yeah, that's right. Bill Clinton's impeachment proceedings. I think it's fair to say this guy has experience in this area. Okay, well, the New York Times runs this story about the book and this story, but intentionally decided to leave out a fact. What fact you say? Well, that the victim doesn't even remember the event ever happening. Now, I did not graduate from J school, but I read a lot of articles, and I would have to think that the alleged victim, having no knowledge of the event ever taking place, would be a pertinent piece of information. I mean, you might want to include that bit in your story. I mean, this might be akin to writing a story now about the Jussie Smollett attack and leaving out the rather pertinent detail that he made the whole thing up. Yeah, I'm just saying that some people might consider it relevant. Well, whatever relevance this story might have had, it is now long gone because something else happened last week. Which brings us to the word of the day, impeachment. So here is a quiz that I bet most people will fail. And I say this because, well, I've asked most people. And as Jay Leno found out, most people are stupid. I mean, here's the quiz. How many presidents have been impeached, and can you name them? Well, the answer is two, and their names, Andrew Johnson and Bill Clinton. That's right, no tricky dicky. Richard Nixon, the only president to leave office during his term in disgrace. Now, I'm not including the one-term losers here, but Nixon resigned before he was impeached, so he was never technically impeached. Now, because this will be the topic of conversation for the next decade, I feel the need to do this PSA, this public service announcement, on what actually is impeachment. Now, it is, in a constitutional sense, impeachment is the act of bringing charges against the president or other civil officer of the United States. It literally means to call into question the integrity or validity of. It's not a guilty verdict. It's a, hey, you know, I think you're up to some shady stuff here. I think we should look into this. That is what an impeachment is. For example, to kind of put this in context, let's say that you hear a loud sound coming from the kitchen. So you run in there and your dog is walking out all nonchalant-like. But you notice the trash can is tipped over and garbage is everywhere. Your dog is acting all innocent like, I didn't do that. But he has torn napkins stuck between his teeth. You might want to impeach your mutt or call into question the integrity of your dog because he is a liar. But technically, he's not guilty yet. You see, he deserves a trial by a jury of his peers. So bring over the cat from next door and let's see whose story holds up. To impeach just means to call into question. Well, Article 2, Section 4 of the United States Constitution says, the president, vice president, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. All right, so for what can a president be impeached? Well, it says right there in the Constitution, treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. Now, high crimes and misdemeanors has nothing to do with crimes against being high. I know some of you went straight there. You were thinking, but what if he was in Colorado? No, different issue. It doesn't matter whether you inhaled or not. High crimes and misdemeanors was a term of art used in English impeachments. And since our laws were based on English laws, their laws are quite relevant. And so in English law, this included criminal or even non-criminal behavior amounting to a serious dereliction of duty. Now, although the Federalist Papers don't specifically cover this, I would assume that this would include leaving all caps on when emailing and driving exactly the speed limit while in the left lane. Can't do either of these in the 21st century. Definitely impeachable offenses. All right, so here's how impeachment works. The House of Representatives is the entity that brings the charge of impeachment. That's found in Article 1, Section 2, Clause 5 of the Constitution, and this is done via a simple vote. So, in other words, 51%. Now, the Senate then holds a trial, if you will, based on these impeachment charges. Now, the Chief Justice, interestingly, will be the one who presides over this trial in the Senate. Now, what is the vote total needed in the Senate to convict? Well, it's 2/3 of the Senate must vote to convict before an official can be removed from office. Now, if an official is impeached by the House and convicted in the Senate, then the Constitution provides that the person is barred from any office of honor, trust, or profit under the United States. So if the president were convicted, yeah, he could always go back to Celebrity Apprentice. I am not sure reality TV would constitute a position of honor in the United States. So he would have options. That's all I am saying. All right, so let's break this down. Did Trump commit treason, bribery, or other crime that qualifies as a high crime and misdemeanor? Now, what did Trump do? Now, I have read the transcript of a call with the Ukrainian president, and I highly encourage you to do the same, because it reads a little bit different than the headlines of either Fox News or CNN suggest. Now, read it for yourselves, and don't be a dupe. Now, here is how the call went down. After exchanging pleasantries, Trump asked the president of Ukraine if he could look into Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son. Apparently, Hunter Biden was put on the board of directors for a Ukrainian energy company. Some might question why would a Ukrainian energy company put a 28-year-old guy with no experience on the board of directors of an energy company? But those people would be stupid and utterly naive. I mean, he was the son of a U.S. vice president. Doors tend to open for those people that do not open for the rest of us. Well, a Ukrainian prosecutor was looking into this company, and Joe Biden, you know, Big Daddy, asked that this prosecutor be fired, which he was. Joe Biden even bragged about this recently. This is not in a dispute. So it is asking a favor from the president of a foreign power and impeachable offense. So when President Trump asked the Ukrainian president, hey, look into Joe Biden, look into this deal, is that an impeachable offense? Now, I am not here to pick sides. Yes, I might in the future, but like you, I would like to know more information before I pick who should win this this trial. So I am withholding judgment and comment until I know more. But I would like to lay out the game plan, the rules of impeachment, so that you know what to expect. All right, the House of Representatives is the body that has to impeach. And in the House, there are currently 235 Democrats, 198 Republicans, one independent, and one vacancy. So, hey, if you're looking for a job, well, there's an open seat. There's a lead for you right there. But yeah, based upon those numbers, he's going to be impeached. His integrity will be called into question. The momentum is already there. The vote will happen, and Trump will be the third president impeached, which means the case will go to the Senate for a trial, and Chief Justice John Roberts will preside. Now, 67 votes would be needed to convict Donald Trump. There are currently 53 Republicans in the Senate, with 45 Democrats and two independents. Assuming all the Democrats and the independents vote to convict, 20 Republicans would have to vote in favor of guilty in order for Trump to be removed from office. So there you go. That's how impeachment works. Well, today I am interviewing Scott Briscoe, an attorney from West Virginia. Scott, it's great to have you on.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me, Joel.
Now, Scott, tell me a little bit about your practice. You are a lawyer. You are funny. So that really attracted my attention to you because, as I know, there is a lot of crazy in the practice of law. But before we get to the crazy, what kind of law do you practice?
Well, mainly I'm a court-appointed attorney. I work for myself, and the judge appoints me on cases. And right now, my caseload consists primarily of child abuse and neglect cases and juvenile delinquents. They've taken over the practice. I used to do a lot of criminal defense, as you can see by the website. But with the drug crisis we've had, that's changed my practice. So now I primarily represent children.
Okay. All right. Now, as they say, the difference between fiction and nonfiction is fiction has to make sense. But if you go to your website, which, by the way, it's on Facebook, and how can our listeners find your website?
You're going to find it on Facebook listed under L. Scott Briscoe's Free Legal Tips.
All right, and we also put that in our show notes as well for our listeners to go to. It is a hilarious site. I was just looking for funny things in the law, and I saw some of your tips, and I got to tell you, the fact that some of these are, or I guess all of them are true, it's amazing. How do you get come across all of these tips?
Being in the courthouse every day, all day, when you open and close the courthouse and you have a caseload like I have, you see a lot of things. And these are things that I've seen in the 23 years of my practice.
Okay, so you've collected them over 23 years. And, mm-hmm. and have you collected them and put them into a book?
Well, it started off, I just started randomly posting the occasional tip here or there just on my own personal Facebook page. And after about a dozen or so, people started to request, hey, can you put these all in one easy place where I can find all of them rather than having to scroll through your Facebook page?
Okay.
So that's initially how it began. I started the Facebook page, and then I was contacted by a publisher, and I've been made an offer on a book that I'm working on, but they want a lot of new material rather than just what's on the page already. And it takes time to collect that because I wait for these true things to happen. I don't make any of them up.
So how do you find subjects or ideas for these tips?
Oh, they bleed into my caseload every day. Facebook comes mm-hmm. into my hearings. The prosecutor will, well, Your Honor, we have right here the defendant's Facebook page where they just posted committing a crime.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. So more and more of that started to happen in all of my cases. So that's when I decided, I think to try to help all of my clients and stop this from happening, maybe I need to go public with some tips. And that was my initial thought with tip number one.
Now, I loved how you mentioned that. It just comes up in court because sometimes that is, I would assume, the prosecutor's best weapon is the stupidity of defendants. And so there was actually a Supreme Court case this last year, Collins v. Virginia, where the defendant in this case posted on Facebook a picture of him on his crotch rocket motorcycle that he had stolen there on the front yard of his house. What a great asset for the police that these people are so stupid. They love to brag about their exploits right there on Facebook.
Oh, they make it incredibly easy for the prosecutor. All the prosecutor has to do is go to Facebook or Twitter or Instagram and hit print, and they bring it right to court, exhibit A, B, C.
Right. So last week, we talked about this story. You might have heard about it, where a bank accidentally deposited $120,000 into a person's bank account.
And they spent it.
They did. Exactly. That's the first thing they did. Hey, $120,000 extra. Maybe I forget. A couple checks have not cleared. Whatever. My wife got to carry the one. I got some money to spend. And so my thought there is, you know how you heard that nine-tenths or possession is nine-tenths of the law?
Right.
Yeah. Apparently that one-tenth is going to get you. So that might be an idea of, yeah, there might be a legal tip there. Don't get your legal advice from your high school bud on a Facebook DM. Not the best idea. I guess you get your stories from all over the place. Now, I saw one. Tip number two. When using a friend's urine in an attempt to pass a drug screen, test your friend first. Not a bad idea.
And it happened. One of my clients, he thought, I'll just ask my buddy here and I can pass this drug test, no problem. And the buddy volunteered it, but neglected to mention he was probably going to be dirty too.
You know, it's for the want of the details. As we as lawyers know, you got to ask that next question, which is, are you currently high? That might be a question you ask. I have also heard maybe you should ask if you're a male, whoever you get the drug test from, maybe they should not also be pregnant. Does that come up?
That has come up as well. The probation officers, they love to tell my male clients, and by the way, you're pregnant.
Hey, you know what? Science is a wonderful thing. They're the marvels of science today. You are pregnant. You are a guy. Hey, who's to discriminate? Well, give me some of your better tips that you've found recently.
Well, you know, normally I have a really good poker face in court, and I can control my face when clients do something silly or hilarious. But the one where I had to lose it, and so did the judge and the court reporter and the bailiff, the prosecutor, we all pretty much lost it. And it was, I forget which number, but it was the poor kid who, I live in a very rural area in southern West Virginia. And a lot of my clients live in very secluded areas that are somewhat difficult to get to unless you have a four-wheeler. And this poor kid lived up what we call a holler in West Virginia. You may know it was a hollow. Okay. And he lived up a holler where a school bus could not get to.
All right.
So he had missed a lot of school. So he came into the system through truancy court. And our judge always asked every client right in front of him, I'm going to have you drug tested today. Are you going to be positive for anything? Well, this poor kid, he was about 12 years old, and it quickly became apparent that he had no idea how a drug screen works, because the judge said to the boy, son, I'm going to send you into the bathroom there, and you're going to give me a sample, and I need to know if there's going to be anything in it. And the kid looked really confused for a minute, and he kind of looked down, and he finally looked up and said, well, there might be some corn. And it took a second for all of us to realize what was he talking about before he realized he was going to go in and drop a deuce in a cup in the bathroom unless the judge had, you know, at least brought that answer out of him so he could tell him, no, you need to pee in the cup.
That is a failure of the legal system, right? Sometimes we don't adequately warn people or let them know what the legal process is about. And yeah, that would be an important distinction. I could see how the kid might be confused.
None of us saw that answer coming. And that was the one day that, and we all pretty much have a good sense of humor that I work with in the courtroom. And that was, we all had a great chuckle at that poor kid's expense. But
so that actually happened in open court. And yeah, what was the response of everyone there in the courtroom? You guys just had to take a 5-minute recess?
We had to take a little recess because there were some tears of joy going down like the court reporter's face and having to type that into the record. So we all had to just compose ourselves for a few minutes and then go back on the record. And that was, I think, the only instance where we actually had to stop to go off the record to laugh and recover and come back.
All right. That's good. Good story. All right. Well, what about tip number 79? What is the story behind this one? In this particular tip, your tip is do not wear your best dad ever t-shirt to your child abuse and neglect hearing. Please tell me a dad did not actually wear his best dad ever t-shirt to a child abuse hearing.
If it's posted, it's true. And I get this a lot. If you read all through the comments on all of my tips, people will say you're making that up or you're lying. And several times I have posted the judge's phone number, the prosecutor's phone number, the court reporter's phone number. You can call any of them to confirm that all of these are true.
Okay. The reason why this sounds funny to me is I teach a class for lawyers for CLE, and I always ask them some of their ideas and how they practice law. And yeah, I could see a lawyer telling the client, hey, look, we didn't make a positive statement in front of the jury, so why don't you wear your best dad ever t-shirt? Sure, that'll score some points with the jury, but you're saying it's not probably a tip that you want to follow.
Well, I've learned over the years, and again, I mostly have kids now, but when I did represent the grown-ups, I would advise them, you know, when you come to court, dress looking respectably or dress like you were going to church, but holy cow, the things that I found out people thought was appropriate to wear to church even. So yeah, this guy came in with the best dad ever t-shirt. And this was in an abuse neglect case where he was facing some pretty serious allegations. So yeah, to see him walk in.
Do you think it was intentional?
It was intentional on his part. And I think that he was trying to put himself in a good light, but had no idea how that was going to come across to everyone else in the courtroom, knowing what we knew about him.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, how about this next one here? Tip number 71, talking about t-shirts. When facing animal cruelty charges, do not wear your PETA, P-E-T-A shirt, which stands for People Eating Tasty Animals. Now, I am from Kansas City, and so we believe that we have invented the barbecue, so I'm all about tasty animals, but you're saying it's probably not the best idea.
No, especially, and that's not really what PETA stands for. It's, you know, for the ethical treatment of animals, but to make this one even, you know, the more the twist, the guy was facing a charge of cruelty to animals. So
right.
And he was in front of a magistrate who was an avid animal lover. The magistrate's daughter was a veterinarian. So he was definitely in front of the wrong magistrate judge that day to wear that shirt.
Exactly. You got to consider
a little offended.
Yes, you got to consider the context. You got to consider the audience. That probably was not the wisest move there.
Well, he got maxed out on the fines and costs on that one. So that t-shirt cost him a bit.
Which interesting. Is, you know. All right. Yeah, no. Yeah. So during my class, we talk about the Bubba the Love Sponge case. Have you heard about Bubba the Love Sponge?
I don't think I've heard about Bubba the Love Sponge.
He is a shock jock in Tampa, Florida. And one day he decided to entertain his radio listening audience by castrating a pig on live radio. And so I have no idea why he thought that would be a fun, interesting thing to do. But he castrated the pig. And unfortunately for the pig, this public castration did not go well. Now, you might be thinking, Joel, aren't you being just a tad bit redundant? You just joined the words public with castration. This can't end well. But nonetheless, the pig, Babe, died during this public castration.
And so
criminal investigation was commenced against Bubba for animal cruelty. Now, the reason why I'm telling this story is whenever I tell it, I just got to chuckle. Because to me, that's the start of a good barbecue. But my wife tells me, no, you cannot even smirk a little bit. That's animal cruelty. I guess it's all in how you prepare the meat. But there you go. That's Bubba. The Love Sponge.
Great.
All right. Well, next one you have here, tip 70. I really like this one. This one is when selecting a potential buyer for the good you stole from your boss, do not select your boss. Not a good idea. What is the story behind this?
Well, and actually, that's one of the few that was not one of my cases. Every now and then, people send cases to me now since my site went viral. And this was one that popped up in the news media. And so I just got a big kick out of it. Someone referred it to me, and I just posted it to the sites. That's not one of my sites or one of my cases. But it actually, you can confirm it did happen. It's in the report.
Oh, but this rings true, because I've had a lot of stories told to me about Facebook posts where people will post things on Facebook, like they're skipping work and going out and spending the day on the lake. They post all these pictures forgetting their boss is a friend on their Facebook page, and not a very good idea. You really got to consider your audience when you are doing these posts.
Which takes me to the other tips, where I've had people on home confinement. And they love to take selfies, and the selfies that they take and post are not at their home.
Not a good idea.
I've had the client that was taking selfies, enjoying a great day at the tanning salon, selfies from the tanning bed. I had one client who was supposed to be on home confinement, but he was on the news at a protest, and he was one of the main speakers. He chose to get in the front and then jump on camera and be interviewed while he was supposed to be at home on confinement. Had another one. I had a girl who was on probation and not allowed to leave the state of West Virginia without her probation officer's permission. Well, on Facebook, her mother posted, "Look at my baby girl. She's having a great time at spring break, and she just came in second in a booty shaking contest."
No.
So that one, her mother ratted her out on Facebook.
Oh my goodness! Yes. Is there?
I mean, I would have bragged about it if she came in first, but I don't think second's really worth posting.
Hey, as Tiger Woods said, that's just the first place loser. And so, yeah, why brag about that? Is there like an enhancement for penalties for you're just too stupid? You deserve this enhanced punishment?
Thank God. No enhancements, just for stupidity. No.
All right. Well, talking about stupidity, tip number 47, which you probably should have this memorized by the number. It is so outlandish. And I'm really hoping you're telling me, Joel, I know what I told you earlier, but this one was made up. So here's tip number 47. I had no idea that was there. I must have fallen on it. Does not sufficiently explain to the judge how the plastic bag full of drugs ended up in your vagina. Please, for the love of all that is mighty and right, tell me that was made up.
Joel, I sat there at my guardian ad litem table in the courtroom live and watched her give this excuse to the circuit judge. And it was after he didn't accept that she fell on it, then it went to, then you know what? It must have been when they took me to the ER. I bet one of those nurses stuck it up in me.
Oh, my goodness.
So when I posted that tip, and if you read through the comments, I got a lot of thanks from nurses for clearing them for not doing that.
Good. We got to clear their name. Because I was wondering, I was thinking, I got to be careful next time I go to the doctor's office. I just don't know what's going on down there.
That was absolutely one of the most outlandish and unbelievable and hysterical answers I have ever seen in the courtroom, ever.
Now this next one, tip number 20. So I just read this to my wife, and she just died laughing. She was, that is hilarious. Tip number 20, here it is. Men, when a woman asks you to send proof of your girth and length by holding up your credit card next to it in the photo, it's not your pride and joy she's wanting to see. Major points for identity theft, creativity. And yeah, that guy deserved what he had coming, I guess.
Oh, and somehow she even got the security code number off the back of the card. He sent that to her as well. So, yeah.
And please, could you now turn the credit card over? I want to see what it looks like from the back side.
It might be a different size on the other side. Could you show me the other side too?
Oh my goodness. Some of these are just amazing. All right, here's another one. Tip
and
number.
You can't make this stuff up. You can't make it up.
No, exactly. The truth, fiction. Fiction has to make sense. Truth, well, it is what it is, so you just cannot make it up.
The police officers, they'll run to me. As soon as this happens, if they're arresting somebody or investigating a case, they want to run to me now and tell me, because they want to get their tip onto my list.
Right. Oh, really?
And the probation officers and the home confinement officers, other lawyers, I get a lot of stories now.
I would bet. Well, I want to hear some of your favorites. Let me give you one more of my favorites from your tip. Because this actually relates to a recent story we talked about on our podcast. Tip number 7, when running from the scene of your crime, the law will be able to track you down if you leave behind your wallet and your car and your friends sitting in your car. So is that now that's also based on a true story?
That actually happened. Yeah, that was right here in town. He was under suspicion of a DUI. He was weaving. So the cops pulled him over. So he pulled over and he just tells his buddies, I got to go. And he jumped out of the car and bolted through the bushes. And when he got out of the car, he left his wallet there. And it was his car and his friends that he left sitting in the car.
Oh, my goodness.
As he bolted. Yeah.
For you left your friends there. Yeah, I'm sure they will have a story to tell. So this actually is very similar to a tale that we talked about a couple of weeks ago on a podcast where a person went to the DMV to get his car tagged and licensed. So he had his receipt there in his briefcase. So then he goes to the bank to rob the bank. And while there, he had to write down the give me your cash on a note. He pulled out his receipt from the DMV and handed that to the teller. So, yes, it had his name. It had his address. Even had the make and model of his car. Not the best way to go about stealing money.
They make it so easy for the prosecutor and so difficult for me. That's why I'm putting these tips out there, because you make my job so hard when they do that.
So much harder. You just follow these tips before you engage in your intended activity. It'll make my job a lot easier. All right. Well, I want to give you a chance here. Give me a couple of your favorite tips that you have that you think, hey, the world needs to know these tips.
Well, you've already touched on a few. One of my favorites was, of course, the tip where she fell on the bag of the drugs and the corn story. Those are two of my top funniest ones. But if you look at the things that my clients have worn in the courtroom to their hearings, that speaks specifically to their case, and the irony, just it's over their head. When you have the client that was facing a grand larceny charge for stealing a car, and he strolls into the courtroom wearing a T-shirt that says, "Drive it like you stole it."
No, he didn't.
And he's accused of stealing a car, and it's on his shirt right there. So.
Drive it like you stole it. Mm.
And all the clients I've had for drug possession, for pot, so many clients in the courtroom wearing their pot earrings, their pot hats, their pot T-shirts. As soon as they walk in, the judge just goes ballistic that they're wearing that in the courtroom while they're facing drug charges. Another funny one was the guy that was facing indecent exposure.
Okay. I don't like where this is going.
He walked into the courtroom, and when he got up that morning, I guess he went through his wardrobe and decided, you know what? I think these crotchless blue jeans will be the perfect thing to wear to court today in my indecent exposure case. Now, thank God he did have the underwear on, but when he sat in the front row and just sat there spread eagle, it was pretty easy to see how he could expose himself to someone.
Oh, my goodness. Well, see, I'm thinking as a lawyer, and I'm advising my clients, sometimes you just forget. You don't have the comprehensive checklist. You forget to tell your client, hey, please don't wear your crotchless jeans to court today. You would think some things don't need to be said.
You would think none of these tips would need to be said, which makes it that much more hilarious.
Well, one more time, how can our listeners find your site?
If you go to Facebook and you go to L. Scott Briscoe's Free Legal Tips, that's where you'll find me.
All right. And please comment on there. These things are hilarious. And if you have any incredible stories, put them on his site as well. I'm sure he is looking for more examples. So that way the future clientele can at least be warned about things not to do in the future. Well, Scott, thanks so much for coming on. Hope we can have you on in the future whenever you have some great tips for our listeners.
Sure. This has been a really fun time. I enjoyed it, Joel. Thanks for having me again.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a 5-star review. We need your love to help us continue highlighting the funnier side of the law. Now, I want to give a special shout out to our Vice President of Operations, Wendy Oster, without whom, well, let's just face it, this entire operation would be a complete and utter mess. Our marketing team, Red Bird Solutions, and Leanne Holmberg for spreading the good word about us. Sean Wynn and 15.5 Features for making me sound way better than I actually do. And Ryan Kuhn and Paul Kuhn of Triplicity Marketing for our technical and computer support.